Hey, Nerd Clan, how are you doing today? We wanted to let you know that today's episode of the Potterverse is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. That's your one-stop shop for all things cosmetics and skincare. But right now, on the day that we're recording this, September 23rd, I'm having a really cool event take place in my Facebook group. All you need to do is search the hashtag MinuteWithMary on Facebook, request to join my marvelous VIPs. I'm doing a foundation 101 because a lot of people's skin are changing because of the change of the season. Whether it's the hydration of your skin or the color of your skin might be tweaked a little bit,
mine's
and I want to help you out.
Mine's not because I'm perfect.
Yours is something. So feel free to check that out. And as always, I have a discount for you, our podcast listeners. This month, my Twisted Epic Mascara is on sale just for you. You can head on over to minutewithmary.com/discount. From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film series of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and your time turners. Let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. My name's Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I love Gilderoy Lockhart.
Good, because I don't.
I love him so very much. I love him more. My love for him has increased with each successive word.
With each? Oh, I was going to say with each page, but you just went five steps further.
Oh, yeah. No.
Okay.
No, all about this. All about the words. Gilderoy Lockhart, especially in this chapter, you can see why people love him. At least in universe, mm-hmm. And how he's so charming, and he's the kind of guy that just radiates charisma.
Ooh, yeah.
And oh, this chapter does it, man. And it's marked by so many different things that happen in this chapter that play like off of each other, where he's just so wordy, yet he's so incapable of anything. And right up front, again, the author does this great thing where she tells you exactly what you need to know heading into the rest of the book.
Mm-hmm.
This chapter defines that, and I find that fascinating.
Well, speaking of fascinating, of course, this chapter is titled Gilderoy Lockhart, and it wouldn't be a Potterverse if I didn't get to have a quote, and here is my quote. I see you've bought a complete set of my books. Well done. I thought we'd start today with a little quiz. Nothing to worry about, just to check how well you've read them, how much you've taken in. When he handed out the test papers, he returned to the front of the class and said, "You have 30 minutes. Start now." Harry looked down at his paper and read, 1. What is Gilderoy Lockhart's favorite color? 2. What is Gilderoy Lockhart's secret ambition? 3. What, in your opinion, is Gilderoy Lockhart's greatest achievement to date? And on it went over 3 sides of paper, right down to 54. When is Gilderoy Lockhart's birthday, and what would be his ideal gift?
He's so well written. The whole thing is so well written. There's even more. There's even better things that happen in this chapter too that are just awesome.
Right?
And I love your Gilderoy Lockhart voice, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
It's like you're in TV news voice.
You just have to smile a lot and sing song it a little bit and just think you're the greatest gift to the world.
Oh, man, it's the best.
You know what is the best?
What's that?
Brittany Lee. Brittany Lee, who is one of our listeners, she won a giveaway.
All right.
What did Brittany win and for what?
She won our giveaway. As you guys know, we were holding a little bit of a giveaway for all the reviewers who are number 60 and 70. And in between, we would randomly select one of the 10 reviewers. And they get a free item from the Mary and Blake store. Any one thing of their heart's content, you, Brittany Lee, get to have it. So please go to... Oh, goodness gracious. Please go to your email thing and let us know at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com.
Maryandblakemedia gmail.com. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Brittany Lee. Huge, huge thanks to you. And of course, we want to thank all of you for tuning in, whether you're watching this live or you're subscribed to our podcast. But no, subscribing to the podcast is one of the best things that you can do to help spread the podcast awareness. It helps boost the algorithm. Hit that subscribe button so all of our new episodes will be sent to you. And you can find us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. You just search Marian Blake. And if you have some time on your hands and you want to delve into another series, whether it's Outlander, maybe The Leftovers, all sorts of different things, Blake and I have podcasted about a bunch of stuff. And Blake is currently doing a Blake's Book Club about the latest in the Twilight series, Midnight Sun. Whether you're a Twihard or a Twi-hater and you've bought the book anyway because you just need to see how things are from Edward's point of view, Blake's breaking it down with his opinions in a very candid kind of podcast format. And that is exclusively for our friends at jointhenerdclan.com. Now, jointhenerdclan.com. It is the one-stop shop to support all things of our podcasts and our blogs, and it honestly keeps it going, especially in times like right now with COVID. Sponsorships have just been really hard for a lot of podcasts, so I want to thank all of you who have taken the time and have pledged at jointhenerdclan.com. For as little as $2 a month, you're making a massive, massive difference.
Ellen here on Facebook says, I just want to let you know, everybody know that it's 18 patrons until Blake's in a Hufflepuff t-shirt.
What?
I still have no faith.
Brittany K. Brown, thank you, by the way. We switched the wording.
I still have no faith. No faith in any of the Hufflepuffs to get me to wear the Hufflepuff t-shirt and get you to pick whatever I say at the beginning of each podcast.
All right, Hufflepuffs, well, podcast. Gryffindors, Ravenclaws, even Slytherins.
No, Slytherins ain't going to do it.
Slytherins are going to do it because they're going to laugh at you.
Oh, please. Please. They got my back.
I don't know if they do.
They got my back.
All right, let's get into the show.
All right, let's do it.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
Ah, Gilderoy Lockhart. One of the most interesting characters that we come across in the Harry Potter universe.
Yes.
So in this chapter, it's not all about Gilderoy, even though he's a major highlight. I was about to say howler. Because we get a howler. We get to learn what howlers are. Ron gets it. He gets yelled at by his mom and completely embarrassed by everybody. The students go off to Herbology with Professor Sprout, where they learn about mandrakes, which are these ugly, gross, baby-like plants. So nasty. Colin Creevy just gets his nerd on, his fandom, all about things Harry Potter. And Lockhart, their new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher, is a complete and utter mess when it comes to Cornish pixies.
He's a mess. You gotta say it with conviction.
He's a mess. You gotta do it like Hermione.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm doing more Selena Meyer from Veep. He's a mess.
Oh.
Sorry, but you didn't watch Veep. By the way, if you're looking for something to binge right now, ladies and gents, make it Veep. Veep is easily in the top three comedies I've ever watched in my life. Maybe two.
Okay, you ready to go into this chapter?
Yes, let's do it. Absolutely.
So things, as I said, this doesn't start off with Gilderoy. We're going to get to him. I need a little breather. As I said, this really starts off with some bad news for Ron as they're sitting in the Great Hall and they get a howler. He gets a howler. It's this terrible letter that yells at him and literally the entire Great Hall gets to hear Ron be chewed out by his mom. Mm-hmm. And what I really loved during these moments was Neville. Neville being like, oh, I got one of those. You're going to want to open it now.
Just do it now.
Oh, it's going to get worse. Like if you wait, it just gets worse. So just get it over with, man. And he is there for him. And then when the howler's happening, Harry had been wondering when his name was going to crop up. He tried very hard to look as though he couldn't hear the voice that was making his eardrums thrum. Like there he is sitting next to Ron and it's like, and you and Harry could have been killed. You would have died. And he's just like, I'm just going to look away. Pretend this isn't happening.
I'm not here. Yep. He's reciting the lines from earlier in the book. I'm just going to pretend that I'm not here, not making any noise.
That is it.
And hopefully my name is not called. The author is exceptionally great when it comes to this chapter for many reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, though, is absolutely this howler. When she writes it this way, open it, Neville urged. it'll all be over in a few minutes. you know, we've all had that situation where you're like, all right, let's just rip this friggin' Band-Aid off and get it done because it's going to be over eventually. Yep. Let's just do it.
Yep.
But the author continues. Ron stretched out a shaking hand, eased the envelope from Errol's beak, and slid it open.
Of course it had to be delivered by Errol. I know. It's such a mess.
Neville stuffed his fingers in his ears. A split second later, Harry knew why. He thought for a moment it had exploded. A roar of sound filled the huge hall, shaking dust from the ceiling. Stealing the car! I wouldn't have been surprised if they'd expelled you! You wait till I get a hold of you! I don't suppose you stop to think what your father and I went through when we saw it had gone! Mrs. Weasley's yells, 100 times louder than usual, made the plates and spoons rattle on the table and echoed deafeningly off the stone walls. People throughout the hall were swiveling around to see who had received the howler, and Ron sank so low in his chair that only his crimson forehead could be seen. Excellent. Excellent. The visual, the cue, mm-hmm. the feel, we all know what rattling spoons and forks and knives are like. And having that sense of the sound booming off the walls and coming and crashing down on everybody.
And having so much shame that your forehead's burning, you know, for him to be like sinking and for his skin to be that red. Can we just take a moment, though? Molly Weasley, love her. Okay. I don't suppose you stopped to think of what your father and I went through when we saw it was gone. Not that you were gone. Not that my child's missing. There's nothing in here like, I'm glad you're alive. Why didn't you make it through the platform?
Right. Are you okay? How did you get there? Like, what happened?
I'm relieved you're okay, but you don't know what we felt like when we saw the car was gone. This was not Home Alone. Like, you and I were expecting Molly Weasley to have a Kevin moment. Yes. Run! But she didn't. They just came back and they were like, you know what it was? They were ready to go have their day date.
Yes, they were going to start drinking.
And they wanted to take the car.
And they got out and they were like, let's hop around London for a little bit.
They didn't bring their brooms.
Yeah, screw it. Let's drive around London.
They don't have a thestral nearby.
We'll go see some Big Ben, you know, Parliament.
Why not? We're here.
Let's do it. Let's stop at a pub. We'll grab a couple of pints.
Maybe have some bangers and mash. I don't know.
Maybe we'll do some bangers and mash in the car. Oh!
Eye roll, Blake. Eye roll.
That's what she said.
Children, listen to this.
No, it's... They're eating bangers and mash in the car. What are you talking about?
Okay.
You went there, not me.
I just had to give that moment because I would have been concerned for these children and my car, but concerned for the children.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Professor Sprout, can we have a toast for Professor Sprout, who I think is one of the most underrated professors at Hogwarts?
Yeah, you don't
Talk
really
about
hear.
Dedication.
You don't really hear anything about Professor Sprout, even after this book. Even after this chapter, really.
No, I argue that you see Professor Sprout throughout the books, but I don't think she really is highlighted in the movie. So because of that, she's kind of erased from your mind a bit. And there isn't a ton that happens with herbology stuff. I mean, sometimes there is, but poor Professor Sprout, this is her subject, in floats Gilderoy Lockhart, because you know with his like, just, you know,
yeah,
turquoise thing. He like saunters in. Oh, excuse me. Professor Sprout, are you about to go mend the Whomping Willow? Oh, well, I wrote about it in my upcoming book. Yes.
Oh, my God.
It's Gilderoy awesome. Gardening. That's what it'd be called.
Gardening with Gilderoy.
And in chapter 26, Whomping Willows, basically you go and, tie it up. Look for it on shelves next spring. Gardening with Gilderoy.
Does anybody have any Gorilla Glue?
So there she is. She probably knew how to do it. Why didn't she just do like an immobilizing spell? You know? Like, there's all these spells, and I'm like, we know about this stuff.
Right.
That just, like, freezes things. But anyway, she was listening to Gilderoy, who gave her utterly useless advice, and she got walloped.
She got smoked.
By the... Well, and the Whomping Willow is there with, like, slings. Like, when people detach their shoulders, or they get broken arms, and they're walking in slings, that's what the Whomping Willow looks like. Kind of sad that wasn't depicted in the movie, because that would have been amazing.
I love Lockhart, because I think he's so well-written.
He is.
We've talked about my crush on Kenneth Branagh in the
films.
Which
I'm all set with.
But in this book, he's so well written because he's vibrant. And everything that he does, you can feel. You mm-hmm. can sense it. Like the Howler, you can sense his air of arrogance. You can sense the way that he just talks and weaves in and out of people, like with grace, but also forcefulness. Mm-hmm. And he does that not only in his actions, but with his words and how he interrupts people, how he doesn't allow people to speak, especially with Harry here. I love how this first interaction was written. When I heard, well, of course it was all my fault. Could have kicked myself. Harry had no idea what he was talking about. He was about to say so.
No, you missed like the favorite part.
Oh.
He goes, Harry, I've been wanting a word. You don't mind if he's a couple minutes late, do you, Professor Sprout? Harry, said Lockhart with his large white teeth gleaming in the sunlight as he shook his head.
Yes, yep.
Harry.
Harry.
Harry. Harry.
I like this. His large white teeth gleaming in the sunlight. Ooh. Oh, it's great.
But then he does the Harry again.
I know. He does it Harry, multiple times.
Harry. you know, he chuckles in between.
I don't know
when. Sorry, continue.
When I've been more shocked. Flying a car to Hogwarts. Well, of course, I knew at once why you had done it. Stood out a mile, Harry. It was remarkable how he could show every one of those brilliant teeth, even when he wasn't.
Not gonna lie, talking. When I reread this line, I tried to see if I could do it. Can I?
You're getting there. It's pretty good, kid. Hold on. Let's.
Which ones are missing?
Let's see. Hold on. Let's show everybody. There you go. If you're watching the live, you'll get this. If you're listening to the podcast app, go to Mary and Blake YouTube and you'll see what Mary's doing with her teeth and her mouth.
you just missed the last row of molars. I'm pretty good. Maybe that's why. Harry.
Gave you a taste for publicity, didn't I? Said Lockhart. Gave you the bug. You got onto the front page of the paper with me and you couldn't wait to do it again. Oh, no, Professor. See, Harry, said Lockhart, reaching out and grasping his shoulder. I understand. Natural want a bit more once you've had it the first taste, and I blame myself for giving you that, because it was bound to go to your head.
But
see here, young man, you can't start flying cars to try and get yourself noticed. Just calm down, all right? Plenty of time for all that when you're older. Yes, I know when you're thinking. It's all right for him, but he's an internationally famous wizard already.
Oh, Harry.
But when I was 12, I was just as much of a nobody as you are now. In fact, I'd say I was even more of a nobody. I mean, a few people have heard of you, haven't
just
they?
Just a wee few.
All that business with he who must not be named. He glanced at the lightning scar on Harry's forehead. I know, it's not quite as good as winning Witch Weekly's most charming smile award 5 times in a row as I have, but it's a start, Harry.
Harry.
It's a start.
How many times did you say his name? He gave Harry a hearty wink and strode off.
Oh my God, this last line. I know. It's not quite as good as winning Witch Weekly's most charming smile award 5 times in a row.
Ding!
As I have.
Oh my gosh.
But it's a start, Harry.
You know, this reminds
it's
me.
It's a start.
Like, when I was on TV, I was highlighted by some weird fan site about newscasters that wear boots.
Yes, that's true.
And like.
And Mary was part of it.
And I was. Some weird people have boot fetishes and like screenshot different newscasts. And there I was. And they were like, Mary Larson in Rhode Island showing off her boots again. Like I was like one of these top people. This would be like the equivalent. I know that it's not as good as winning the top newscasters wearing boots award.
But, you know, as silly as this is, and as funny as it is, we like to make fun of it, and I love Lockhart. He's just the best. It serves a very specific purpose, and that is, in my estimation, identity. Again, this book is so far entrenched in what it is to be famous and what it is to be you. Mm-hmm. It starts earlier in the book, but it's continued here. Lockhart is looking at Harry like Harry is trying to seek out fame. He's a fame seeker when yep. he, in fact, is just not. Yet, Lockhart is himself a fame seeker. So he's trying to coach Harry as if he is in the same situation as Lockhart was and is and will be, but he's just not. And it shows the arrogance that Lockhart has, the need to be not only right, but be front and center for yes. everything.
Yes. So we get to hang out with Professor Sprout and these mandrakes. And in this chapter, I finally figured out how many kids there are in this school. Mm-hmm. Because you walk in and there's 20 pairs of earmuffs. And this is a class for Gryffindor and Hufflepuff, I believe. And then I did some more research and the author had made up in her mind back when she was, you know, creating the series that there were going to be about 40 new first years every year, that there would be 10 new kids in each house. Mm-hmm. So this was like, okay, the 20 earmuffs, this is making sense. So
Before we continue, Hannah has a question, Mary. The real question is, what kind of boots were you wearing?
I mean, they were like the boots that people joke about as Han Solo boots, you know, like I'm wearing a vest right now. Like it was in boots season.
Yes, it was.
You know, so nothing crazy, not like snow boots, but just like nice. How would you describe them?
It was just your regular like
nice women's
knee boots.
Like, yeah. Nothing just, like over the knee scandalous, but it's Rhode Island, and it was very cold, and I had to go out on assignments that were, you know, muddy or rainy, so I would just wear boots sometimes.
Never underestimate how weird people can be. Never underestimate
it. Seriously. Goodness gracious. So in this chapter, we learn the importance of mandrakes.
Yes, which is great foreshadowing for what will happen in later on in the book. And again, the author does this thing where she slowly introduces necessary items that will impact the rest of the story. Because as you're reading this, you're thinking, oh, well, that's cute. Like Professor Sprout with the mandrakes and kids passing out. And maybe you'll die if you hear a fully grown one, yada, yada.
You die, yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada over the best part. But when the mandrake comes back up again at the end of the book or towards the end of the book, even in the middle of the book, I suppose, you're already familiar with it. You already have that thing. Like, oh yeah, that was that thing back in that chapter that, you know, when Gilderoy Lockhart was being awesome. So you have a familiarity with the world, and the world has a familiarity with you. And I really love how the author continues to do this.
We learn about how these mandrakes will be able to create antidotes for a lot of things, and that's why they have to take care of them. The kids, of course, are really excited that they get to be in Greenhouse 3. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where the tough stuff is. So they're pretty pumped. They put on these earmuffs. They do what they've got to do. Do what you gotta do. So we have a good time in... And mandrakes are one of my favorite things to see when we go to like cons and stuff. People who've made fake mandrakes.
Yeah, that's just cool. How they do it.
Yeah, they're just so gross.
Can we talk about Justin Finch Fletchley?
Please.
I am out on Justin Finch Fletchley.
Of course you are. I am so in on him.
Because he doesn't matter.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
He does.
In what way does he matter?
He is a muggle-born who is so excited to have gotten into Hogwarts. His dad, I think, is a milkman, okay? And he had to talk his parents out of sending him to Eton. He would have gone there, but he really wanted to go to Hogwarts. And he's so just like ready to go and say a little hello to Harry.
Eton is one of the most premier schools in all of England.
Exactly, which is why, if you Google search Mary Larson boots, you'll find it. The blog is called The Appreciation of Booted Newswomen Blog.
Oh, and there's Mary right there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. That is awesome. We are. That is awesome.
Oh, here's the entire thing. All May. That's how many they found of me.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Oh my God. One of them they called a gem. Thank you for a viewer for sending in this gem of my boot.
Oh God.
That's what she said. Okay, so Justin Flinch Fletchy.
Yeah, I'm kind of out because he doesn't matter.
He matters to me.
Yeah. Is that really the point?
There are hundreds of characters to choose from, Blake.
In fact, I would say that you get more of a great vibe from Colin Creevy than you do Justin Finch Fletchley.
Okay. One can argue that. It's important for us to know that this muggle-born child who is in Harry's year thinks of him as like, hey, here's a cool guy. Nice to meet you. But he's not like a fan person like a little Colin.
Sure.
Because Justin is going to have this issue with the with all the stuff going forward with the Chamber of Secrets and Parseltongue, all these different things. But you need to know that he's muggle-born. Like, it needs to be very clear. Because right now, aside from Hermione, we don't really know. I mean, we have Seamus, who's half. But we don't know any other muggle-born kids in Harry's year in Hogwarts. So I think you need to have Justin there because this book is about trying to eradicate the muggle-borns.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not like my point?
No, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I'm thinking about something else. Mary, we talked about how much everybody knew at the end of The Sorcerer's Stone. And it's a line that Dumbledore says that you don't like. You take issue with the line that Dumbledore says to Harry that naturally everybody knows. And part of me thinks that's actually really true, that everybody knows, because Colin Creevy is the one that's sitting there saying, you're the one who stopped you know who at in the or you're the one at the bottom of that
brain
fart.
I think you'd be Justin Flinch Fletchy.
No, I wouldn't.
You want to know why? He bought all of Gilderoy Lockhart's books, read them all, and then gave them to his mom to prove how cool wizards were. He loves Gilderoy Lockhart, too.
I guess what I'm getting at is...
Don't hate on Justin.
Hold on, where is it?
Stand up for the puff.
He's essentially talking. He's talking about Harry's fame. Where is it? I know I read it. It's in here. I can't find it. Anyway, what I'm getting at is this. Colin Creevy is talking about Harry's fame. Not because he's Harry Potter, but because Harry, had achieved so many great things in his first year. And I find that fantastic because it's not just Harry's unwillingness. Where is it?
This is where he's talking.
Okay, hold on. Well,
you're over this.
I'm over it.
I was just trying to help you.
Thank you, though. I appreciate it. He's talking about Harry's fame, and I find that fascinating because Harry finally has something that other people are recognizing, not just because he has the scar in his head, because it's of the things that he's actually done that make him famous. And it's Colin Creevy that gives us that sense. It's Colin that says, yep, okay, Harry has finally done something for himself. And that is awesome.
And then don't the pixies try to rip up Justin's books and he tries to shave them? Justin just wants his books, man.
Yeah, here it is. So I can prove I've met you, said Colin Creevy, eagerly edging further towards. I know all about you. Everyone's told me about how you survived, you know, who when he tried to kill you and how he disappeared and everything, how you still got a lightning scar on your forehead, his eyes shake. And a boy in my dormitory, if I develop the film, blah, blah, blah. He talks about those things, and I find that great.
I do, too.
I find that great.
This just builds out that world. We get to meet more people. We get to, you know, understand how many other individuals are not necessarily wizard-born. And, you know, I think it makes Harry even more so feel like this is place for home. Like, they really are all learning about this together.
Of course, it leads us to the next great interaction with Gilderoy Lockhart.
Oh, Harry.
Off you go. Move along there, Lockhart called to the crowd and set off to the back of the castle with Harry, who was wishing he knew a good vanishing spell still clasped to his side. A word to the wise, Harry, said Lockhart paternally as they entered the building through a side door. I covered up for you back there with young Creevy. If he was photographing me too, your schoolfellows won't think you're setting yourself up so much. Deaf to Harry's stammers, Lockhart swept him down a corridor lined with staring students and up a staircase. Let me just say that handing out assigned pictures at this stage of your career isn't sensible.
I mean, it's not.
Looks tad big-headed, Harry, to be frank. There may well come a time when, like me, you'll need to keep a stack handy wherever you go, but... He gave a little chortle. I don't think you're quite there yet.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh, it's great.
You know, I just loved... I love how all of his books have alliteration. And I want to say that his newest book, in addition to Gardening with Gilderoy, it's going to be Hanging with Harry.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
All the photos, you know, he wants the photographic evidence. So he and Harry hanging out in Flourishing Plots. He and Harry hanging out at Hogwarts before class. Like, he is probably going to find a Polaroid camera somewhere and just take pictures and write about the times with the chosen one, Harry Potter.
Victoria here on Facebook says Lockhart's already jealous. Wow, hilarious. Do you find that Lockhart is jealous of Harry, my love? Do you think he wants that piece of fame that Harry's got and something that he doesn't have?
I actually don't think he can see that far beyond his own nose. I think when he says, like, some people know about you, it's... like, I do want to hang out with this person. I do want a social status climb. But I still think he thinks that he's the bee's knees.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's older. Because Harry really is kind of, you know, stumbling a bit. Driving a car to school. Things like that. I think Gilderoy's like, oh, this guy is so JV team.
When the whole class was seated, Lockhart cleared his throat loudly and silence fell. He reached forward, picked up Neville Longbottom's copy of Travels with Trolls, and held it up to show his own winking portrait on the front.
And then doesn't he wink back?
Yes. Me, he said, pointing at it and winking as well. Gilderoy Lockhart, Order of Merlin, third class, honorary member of the Dark Force Defense League, and 5 times winner of Witch Weekly's Most Charming Smile Award.
Ding.
But I don't talk about that. I didn't get rid of the... Bandon Banshee by smiling at her.
Gilderoy.
Makes me wanna shout. Oh, God, I didn't get rid of the Banshee by smiling at her. He waited for them to laugh, and a few people smiled weakly.
Because he's used to chatting with, like, 50-year-old women. And here are these, like, 12-year-old kids. I'm amazed that he thinks so many of them would have already read these books. You know, like, are they all Hermione Grangers? No. What would you have done if you had gotten this quiz and you were 12?
I don't know.
What's your favorite color? What's your favorite gift?
Brittany asks here on Facebook, is Minute with Mary a Lockhart book?
I do love alliteration. No joke. Hermione, of course, gets all of the answers right. She has studied his book left and right. She loves Gilderoy Lockhart so much that she has written in her journal, her planner, hearts around the blocks of his class. And then he sets loose freshly caught Cornish pixies.
And just lets them go.
Don't be so scared, children.
It's going to be okay.
He makes up a bogus spell, which is pretty much like, turn the stupid fat rat yellow. Okay?
Poughkeepsie,
pesky, pips... I can't even do it, Blake. Can you do it? Pesky, pisky, pestronami.
Poughkeepsie, pestronami.
Whatever. Exactly. We did it. Terrible justice because it's a terrible spell and it's not even real. So he's doing this. The kid's going all a wreck. I loved how it said several shot through the window, showering the back row with broken glass. The rest proceeded to wreck the classroom more effectively than a rampaging rhino. Like, this went bogus. And then he just leaves.
He's like, yeah, why don't you guys take care of that?
Well, I'll just ask you three just to nip it in the back into their cage. And he swept past them and shut the door quickly behind him.
What do you think about Hermione's efforts to excuse Lockhart? Is this something that is like a little girl's crush? Or is it just complete faith in the teachers at Hogwarts?
I actually think it's a complete faith in society. Because, you know, we just went to the bookstore and there are these grown adult witches and wizards, but mostly witches, who are enamored by him. And you have people across the board who say, this guy has done these things. He's pretty remarkable. Mm-hmm. So if we had a member of society who was very famous, who was saying that they were doing things, who had books that they had maybe written and everyone just kind of talked about it, I mean, how could you not believe it?
Yep.
unless you got to see it and prove it otherwise. Yep. So I don't think that, I do think Hermione has a crush, but I do think that it's just that society has told her, this guy's legit.
Another question I have for you too, Mary, is, you know, there, you know, this book, we're already six chapters in now, and the book that I'm reading, it's 82 pages.
Like, look at that.
And for you, yeah. I'm not sure what page it is, whatever it is. It's 102.
At the end of this, the last page of this one is 103.
Yeah, 103. Okay. So we're essentially a third of the way book.
Yeah, I'd say a third of the way.
And nothing has really happened. Nothing has really happened. Nothing, at least as it relates to
I will say a fourth.
Let's.
Okay. Stats are for nerds, Blake. Stats are for nerds.
259. Yeah, I'd say we're about a third through. What I'm getting at is this. Not a lot has happened here. Not a lot. And do you find that frustrating for this book? Do you feel like we should be getting into this a little bit faster and a little bit more efficiently?
No.
And the reason why I ask is because when I'm reading Midnight Sun, I find it to be way overwritten and way under-edited.
Mm.
And I wonder if this book could be edited down a little bit further. Do you think that we are in the most efficient line of storytelling here?
I am totally fine with the way that this book is written because it is still just the second book of this series. Mm-hmm. So we have had to flesh out other aspects. We had to flesh out how wizards may live, you know, what their lives are like, what their houses are like, what they eat, how they travel. We got to see everything from the Muggle perspective in the first book by living with the Dursleys, but we need to see how everybody else lives. We also need to see that there are great divides in the wizarding world. We didn't necessarily know how rich some were and how poor some were, or how people can be famous for different things. So I think that this is a great journey in the world building. And I really, really think that a large part of Harry Potter is the world, is these scents and smells, and is going shopping in Diagon Alley.
Sure.
And I don't think in a lot of the other books, once we're really, really entrenched in it, it doesn't take this long to get things plot-wise going.
Yep.
And if you get down to it, it is a pretty simple whodunit, we fix it. But it's really this world building that I think is important.
Brittany says, we're still in exposition mode. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And are you okay with being still expository to this degree?
Yes.
Rebecca says, stats are for nerds until they're Blake's stats. I would wholeheartedly agree. As a matter of fact, I will do this.
Bam! Just like that.
Absolutely. Stats are for nerds until they're mine.
Would you like to be a different perspective?
Well, I got a couple more things here. Kate says, no, we need the characterization of these characters.
Cheers.
And Victoria says, sometimes it's about the journey, being there with everyone, hanging out, learning about each other. Do you find that even though the plot has not gone to, in fact, we really haven't even begun anything in the plot, that we've learned a lot about the characters, even the ones that we've already been with.
We need Justin. We need Colin. We need Gilderoy. We need to know
Don't
Dobby.
Need Justin. Don't need Justin. Out on Justin.
Okay. I think you need Justin for another Muggle, and I think you need Justin for a face for a Hufflepuff.
Sure. Okay.
So, I'm just saying.
Do you have a
different perspective?
Different perspective?
I do, and I hope you do too.
I got one.
Good.
But you're going to go first.
Okay,
here we go.
Holy cricket! You're Harry Potter! I'm Hermione Granger. And you are?
Ron Weasley.
Okay, go ahead.
I've had the worst day ever.
Why, Ron?
Listen, it's just the first day of school, okay? I'm nervous about what classes to get. I'm just finally sitting down with my friends. And I almost didn't get to school. I got reprimanded by all these teachers. And then I get a howler. In front of everybody. And I am the impressionable age of 12. I have pimples right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm starting
probably
to
smell. Yeah, you definitely smell.
Yeah, I'm starting to get like two whiskers, so it's not that cool yet. And I get a howler. I'm the first kid all year to get a howler. Like, and everyone knows. And I love Harry, but like, Harry gets away with everything. Not only does Harry get away with everything, but like, this Gilderoy Lockhart guy that everybody's drooling over thinks he's a big deal. And everyone's just putting me down for riding my car. Even Draco's after me. Draco's like, if you do this, you're going to get pulled from the school. Like, what the heck, man? Harry did it too. And yet I'm just having the worst day. The worst day.
Oh, man.
When's dinner?
Yeah. Can we please eat? I just want to eat.
I mean, that makes Ron feel a lot better when he eats.
Yes, absolutely.
He loves his food.
He's a lot.
So I just wanted to like have a moment for Ron because that's how Ron's day began.
Sure.
And then he was made fun of by Draco. You know, he had these Cornish pixies and he's mad at Hermione. Not mad, but he's like this. He says, can you believe him? Like Ron sees Gilderoy for what he is. Mm-hmm. And here's Hermione, the smartest witch of her age, not believing. Well, I just needed to have a moment for Ron. He is one of my favorite characters, but I'm like, he must have just been like, I'm done with today.
Mm-hmm. I need to go to bed.
Can I play Annie's tomorrow? It's only a day away.
I need to listen to some Radiohead and just chill out, relax.
Hopefully someone else gets a howler between now and then, so I'm not the only kid. Who's your different perspective?
I am Justin Finch Fletchley.
Oh, I thought you were going to be Gilderoy.
No, I'm not going to be Gilderoy. I'm going to be Justin Finch
Fletchley. The boy that you've... Okay, and you better do him justice.
I am. I'm going
justice
to.
Justice for Justin.
You ready?
Yes.
I'm a Hufflepuff, and I suck. All right, let's do the listener questions. Here we go. All right. All right, listen to questions, everybody. This is the time, ladies and gents, where you get a chance to send us some listener questions. I apologize.
No, you don't.
For nothing. I apologize for nothing. This is when you get a chance to send in some questions. We have some emails here, and if you're here live on the chat, make sure when you pose your question, you say...
You better watch out. I know where you sleep. You want to know what you don't mess with, Blake? A honey badger. You want to know what honey badgers eat? Snakes. You want to know something? Go on YouTube and watch honey badger videos. You better watch your back.
Oh my God. That was awesome. This is just great. This is great. So, anyway... If you're here in the live with us,
if you are upset like me, please go to the jointhenerdclan.com to donate some money to get this jabroni in a Hufflepuff shirt.
Oh man, that was great. So if you're here with the live, just send us the questions and then make sure you put the little lightning bolt emoji ahead of the question so we know what it is. And if you are listening to this in the podcast app and you want to see Mary's priceless face, you can do so. Just go to the Mary and Blake YouTube, see the episode for this one. But don't feel left out. You can send us some emails, and we'll answer them for you in this next segment. Marvin, are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
Oh, Miles here.
You can read it.
I will.
Good. Because it's by a Hufflepuff.
Rebecca Ann says, Hufflepuff pride.
There you go.
Okay, last week y'all were talking about all of Harry's finances and why he didn't help the Weasleys with books and such with all the money his parents left him. And I think it was Mary that had mentioned he should think of spending it all wisely because he only got a certain amount of money from his parents and has a few more years left at Hogwarts. Well, I'm listening to The Prisoner of Azkaban, Chapter 4, right now, and a few minutes in, his thought process does go to spending his money wisely because he had 5 years to go at Hogwarts.
Yay!
And didn't want to have to ask the Weasleys for help buying books and such.
Yes.
Just thought that was a cool find. Love the podcast. Thanks for the giggles.
Yes.
This one comes from Jackie. She says, just started listening, so I'm still catching up.
Hi, Jackie.
Well, you know what? Welcome to the family. Thank you so much. My question goes back to the start of the books, but I would love to hear what you think. Do you think Harry and Ron and Hermione would have been friends if Harry's parents didn't die and he grew up on the Wizarding World? Marvin, I leave this one to you.
I do. I think that, I mean, if he had grown up in the Wizarding World, I do. I think he still would have been friends with Ron. And then through that, they would have met Hermione. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Do you think Harry would have been like in a different house? There's only 10 kids in his year. You think he's more of like a Seamus kind of kid?
Well, that's the question. Is Harry a Slytherin without the scar?
Would he have been a spoiled child? Had like been doubted upon by his parents. Sirius would have bought him everything he wanted. And then he ended up a Slytherin.
I don't think there's enough evidence to suggest that he'd be.
I don't think he would.
Like, you're essentially saying he'd be Dudley.
Yeah, I think Harry would still be Harry. I think that Harry, the qualities of Harry, you still take away like the chosen one, the Voldemort aspect. I think that Harry still would have been friends with these two people. I think that he is a very, these three people, I always shout Neville out. I think that Harry is incredibly compassionate. Mm-hmm. And I think he would have seen Ron when Ron felt like a lot of people did not see him. Mm-hmm. And I think that Harry is very patient when it comes to Hermione and appreciates Hermione's strengths. And I think that he would have done that still.
All right, good. All right, we got some questions here for the live. So let's see what we got here.
The Hufflepuffs are hating you.
I love it. Thank you so much, everybody. Brittany says, would you send your kids a howler at school if they did something bad enough? Abso-frackin-lutely. I am a living, breathing howler. That's what I do.
I wouldn't. I would be very nervous about embarrassing them.
Wouldn't care.
And as someone who was embarrassed quite frequently during school, it was tough.
Tammy says, brave, Blake, or maybe stupid?
Agreed, Tammy.
Ellen says, do you think Molly has a shrine to Lockhart hidden in the burrow somewhere? I'd like to imagine she's made a secret hideout just for Lockhart.
I like to think that she and Arthur play Banshee Catcher.
Oh, hey, girl. He didn't do it just smiling at her.
Wink. Rachel says,
why? Ain't the ding you're thinking of.
Rachel asks Blake, why do you bust on Hufflepuff so much? Are you secretly wanting to be a
good
Hufflepuff?
God, no. No, God, no, no.
No, God, please, no. 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 No.
That's right, Michael. No.
I don't know how I ended up with you.
Because I'm Batman.
I really just don't.
Because I'm amazing.
I think I was supposed to marry a Hufflepuff.
Nope. Nope, not at all.
And then I found you.
You got a Slytherin.
Did you put a spell on me?
No, I love just getting a rise out of people. So
yeah, he really does love the puffs. If you hurt people's feelings, can you please apologize?
I apologize for nothing.
Okay, remember the talk that we had yesterday about feelings?
Yes, I do.
Can you bring that into this moment for one moment, please?
Potentially.
Take a deep breath and let's try. Put yourself in a puff's shoes.
Yeah.
And they listen to you.
You know what I would do? I would go to join the Nerd Clan and donate as much money as I possibly could and get all my friends to join so that I could get a Hufflepuff
Slytherin
shirt.
Slytherin revenge feeling.
Just saying, throwing that out there.
Puffs lead with their heart.
Okay, let's see. Oh, okay. Hold on. Wait. Oh, my mouse is gone. Here we go. Blake, do you feel your pure hatred for Hufflepuff actually comes from having Hufflepuff tendencies? No, I am 0% Hufflepuff. I am all Slytherin on all of those quizzes.
Sadly.
By the way, one of our listeners sent us a BuzzFeed quiz where it gives you percentages of your houses. Mm-hmm. So like you could be 90% Gryffindor, but 5% Slytherin, 5% Hufflepuff. We should totally take that.
I wouldn't be.
Well, what do you mean?
I wouldn't be 5% Slytherin.
No. No. All right. The next one is Brittany says, why do you call Mary Marvin sometimes? That is a long story. I will make it very short. When I first met Mary, she was just constantly hungry all the time. Just never stopped eating. She's always hungry. I want to get food.
I wouldn't whine when we just started dating. When we just started dating, I still whined about being hungry.
Yes.
Man.
And I just started calling her Starvin' Marvin. And then I was calling her that, and then I got sick of saying Starvin' Marvin. And Mary sounds like Marvin. They kind of sound like each other, so I just started calling her Marvin. There's some other stories, too, why I call him Marvin, but it's a longer story, and I don't want to get into it, because it would be boring for all you guys.
It for our questions.
Hold on, let's see. Caitlin asked, which book of Lockhart's would you want to read the most? I think stuck with the werewolf I would want to read.
Was that Wandering with a Werewolf or whatever?
Whatever it is.
It's alliteration,
yeah.
Blake.
Yeah,
it's alliteration.
Sure, Wandering with a Werewolf. Whatever. Whatevs.
I'd do the nerds. Vampire one.
Sure.
Ellen says, do you think Sprout uses the mandrakes as a way to release her anger because of the stupid children? I like to imagine she goes down to the greenhouse with some grin.
Some gin.
Some gin and just screams expletives on the magic screen. She's like, it's September 2nd. Summer holiday went a little too quick this year. Put on those earmuffs, kids.
Where's the beef eaters? I need the beef eaters.
You know, Professor Sprout, who is a Hufflepuff, she is so sweet. She takes the pink fuzzy earmuffs that nobody wants.
Oh,
she knows that no 12-year-old wants to be humiliated and wear the pink fluffy earmuffs, so she wears them. Because Honey Badger don't care. Tim Gould, our friends the Goulds are watching. You just sent me that text.
What?
So watch out. The Honey Badger don't care.
Yeah, Honey Badger doesn't give a...
Okay, watch.
I didn't say
okay.
it.
Okay, so
say
I think it. We're going to wrap up.
Yes, we're going to wrap it up. That is the end of this show, ladies and gents. Marvin, are you ready to close this out?
I sure am.
Let's do it.
I just had a moment where I envisioned something.
What's that?
Justin Flitch Fletchy.
Can't even say the name right. He's that insignificant.
Anyway, Justin getting sorted,
JFF.
Just getting sorted into Hufflepuff and not fully knowing what it all means, but just being so happy. Just being so happy and like writing to his mom and dad and saying, can you please send me some more money so I can buy some more Hufflepuff gear and extra scarves and in gold and black? And when I come home, can I please repaint my room into Puff Pride colors? You know that he's very proud.
Oh, God. No, out.
I am so thankful for you all taking the time to listen to this podcast, for leaving reviews in iTunes or your podcast app. 5 stars is what we would love to see, plus a written review explaining why this podcast brings you joy. Thank you to everyone at jointhenerdclan.com. As always, this is all thanks to you that we're able to keep this train rolling and bringing hopefully some light and levity, some Lumos to your Nox in 2020. That's one of our goals.
We're here. We're ready to go. We're having some fun. We're talking Midnight Sun, all those places at jointhenerdclan.com. So go over there and join up.
All right, everybody. My name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
Mischief managed.